LCCC's weekly community affairs update to keep you connected to our mission of advancing equity through empowerment of children, adults, and families of Russell and other West Louisville neighborhoods. Spend the next hour tuned in right here. Get the latest news of family services, community opportunities, businesses, and economic development, and much more. Hear from our leaders and special guests. Call in to be a part of this history-making broadcast. Join LCCC's movement to create vibrant neighborhood conditions for children, for adults, and businesses to thrive socially, academically, artistically, and economically. This is the next episode of Russell on the Move with your host, Kevin Fields. Leading with vision, educating on economic mobility, advancing equity, developing quality.
Good morning. Welcome back to Russell on the Move. This is Kevin Fields, CEO at LCCC. And we're going to bring you our second edition of our Black History Month series this morning. And Brother Herbert is here in the studio with me. And Herbert, I heard on the radio as I was coming in on 71, Brother Vince Graves, our engineer, was playing some good music. And one of those songs was Something's Good is About to Happen. And that's what I feel like this morning. Something good is about to happen because we've got a great conversation that we're going to have here in the spirit of honoring Black History Month. And that's so important. In fact, it seems like it's more important than ever that we talk about preserving legacies and celebrating our stories as it relates to African-American history, because, you know, Black history, to some degree, is under attack on the political front. And, you know, while we are not politicizing this broadcast, because we are nonpartisan as an organization, and I'm trained to be apolitical as a administrator of public policy, yet, as an African-American, I get very concerned when I hear about some of the digressive initiatives that are happening in our governmental areas. And I'll be specific. I heard about the Kentucky General Assembly's effort to move us away from addressing anything related to diversity, equity, and inclusion as it relates to public policy and public schools, as well as in post-secondary education. And that's very troubling. So we're going to hear today talk about the importance of preserving the legacies and celebrating Black history. And we've got a very special guest here from an organization that, you know, 365 days a year, they're talking about history in our community. Because Black history, American history, world history is to be preserved. Because as they say, I think in the African term, the word Sankofa, you always got to look back. If you don't know, you know, where you've been, how can you know where you're going? And so we're going to hear from Patrick Lewis, who is with the Filson Historical Society. And I want to welcome him to the show. Good morning, Patrick.
Good morning. Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Yep, and welcome back, I should say, because, you know, you were here last year. I forget the month. I think it was in the summer, but you were here last year when we were talking about Filson Society, and you work with my dear friend, Julie James.
Oh, yes.
I know her formerly as Julie Skoski. Julie and I have been colleagues for many years, addressing education and especially adult education work. She served many years at JCPS Adult Ed as the leader. And we worked on bringing many outreach efforts around GED. And so, and we're today still Rotarian, still see her frequently. So I'm just glad you're here today to represent Filson, and tell us, give our listeners an introduction of yourself from a personal and professional perspective.
Well, sure. I appreciate that. Yeah, absolutely. You know, but first to recognize Julie James, you know, she puts together all of our programs, over 70 that we host at the Filson every year, 100 once you count all the lectures that we go out into the community and give as staff members, sharing all aspects of Kentucky and American history. It's really important. And yeah, bringing that adult education, right? Everybody should be a lifetime learner, right? Just because you're out of school doesn't mean you should stop learning, stop exploring. And as we know now, right, as we're seeing with some of this legislation in Kentucky and other states, right, even what you get in school is not the full picture, is not sufficient to help you understand, to be an equipped citizen, to go out and vote, to act in your community, to support causes that you invest in, you know. So that's really one of the things that we at the Filson really try to build is that community of people who want to get together and learn, whether that's through research, whether that's through listening to programs or participating, however it is. Shout out to Julie and all the work she does. I came to the Filson in 2019. I am a historian of Kentucky, particularly, you know, my dissertation that I wrote at UK focused on the Civil War and Reconstruction in Kentucky, and how did this state transition from being a slave state to a Jim Crow state, and particularly trying to understand how, you know, those enslavers in Kentucky retained political power, denied civil rights to African Americans in Kentucky after the end of slavery. One of the things that we don't realize is that because Kentucky didn't secede from the Union, because it wasn't formally under Reconstruction, you know, it never experienced that brief moment of Black political power in the late 1860s and 1870s that lots of states in the Deep South were sending Black men into Congress as state legislators, as office holders. Kentucky never experienced that because political power remained in the hands of these former Unionists who had been enslavers, and lots of the discriminatory laws that would become commonplace across the Jim Crow South in the 1880s, 1890s, and through the early 20th century were developed in Kentucky. It's a laboratory for thinking through how you repress Black political power.
Wow.
And so that was my early work. So, you know, so these questions and these topics, right, are they're real, right? Like I was finishing that dissertation work up as the Voting Rights Act was being challenged and torn down.
Wow.
The poll taxes, for example, right, that discriminate against Black voters who are too poor to pay for these poll taxes. And that's a tactic that's used up throughout the South until the 1960s. That's a Supreme Court case that comes out of Lexington. Lots of these kind of measures are all created here. Kentucky, has a lot to learn about itself.
We're really seeing that. Mm-hmm. And I think thank you for sharing what education you've given us this morning, because we have a lot to learn ourselves about who we really are as a state, which puts us in the situation that we're in today. Let me acknowledge that we do have on the line with us another distinguished, very, very special guest who is also a part of the Filson Historical Society with some of her historic artifacts. Miss Irma Lucille Allen is on the line. Good morning, Miss Allen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, thank you for calling in and just stand by with us. We're going to continue this conversation with Patrick, but I want you to weigh in a little bit about your work in this community as an artist and as a historian, and the efforts that you're taking on to help preserve Black history in our community. And you can chime in at any point, Ms. Allen, because the next question I want Patrick and you as well to describe Filson Historical Society in terms of its mission, goals, and some of its historic milestones.
Okay.
You go right ahead, Patrick.
I'll jump in there. So in general, our mission hasn't changed for about 140 years. We're celebrating a big anniversary this year. It's 1884. The Filson was first founded And the goal now, as it was then, is to collect, preserve, and share the history and culture of Kentucky and the Ohio Valley. So that's Kentucky and the states that touch it. The way that we understand that mission has expanded, right? Who's included in that mission has expanded since then, but the very basics of it have remained. Being a place where, people can learn, can research, can write, and can listen to other people and be in community with other folks who share those same goals, right? Having that mutual support and knowing that you're not alone in being that person who wants to understand the past so that we can make ourselves a better future.
Yeah, Ms. Allen, I want you to weigh in on that from a historic milestones perspective, because you being a historian yourself, and I want to remind us who are in the studio as well as those that are listening, that her family, Ms. Allen's family, celebrated her 92nd birthday last August, which was a great, great, great celebration. And when I say her family is her children, and of course, all of her kinfolk, but also her community, because we all are part of Emma Lucille's family.
Right.
And so you might remember sometimes, Ms. Allen, in your life when Filson wasn't as inclusive as it is today, maybe as a part of segregation that you lived through. Can you speak to some of the milestones and some of the changes that have happened at Filson in your lifetime?
Well, as coming up, I really never heard of the Filson. And it's only been within the last 5 years that I have been involved with the Filson. And really what I would like to say is that there's so much that the Filson does that is not given, that the community does not know that they do. And I started donating my father and Elma Hammond Sr. and Thelma Morton, or my mother was my stepmother, and my father. And I had all their stuff, and I have given that to the Filson. But what I'm trying to do now is to give them things on, not only of the Hammond family, but of the community. And people can go and look for it. And when I sat down, I don't realize what I have done over the years, and that I was the first African-American chemist hired in 1966 at Brown-Forman.
Amen.
And I worked there for 31 years. And also, I'm an artist. And I have donated some artwork, and also I'm donating, going through papers now and finding articles, not only on me, but like on Martin Luther King. And yesterday I found a newspaper article from a Louisville Defender from 2014 that I'm going to donate to the Filson Club.
That's right.
That's awesome.
And also your photos, all the photos that you take everywhere, every event, every art show, every, if it's on the calendar in Louisville, Ms. Allen is there with her camera. And those photos, I think, are going to be this record of what's happening culturally in Louisville that is going to be absolutely invaluable in time. And I warn people, you know, if you're ever around her, you're going to be part of history, because those photos are coming to the Filson.
Yeah, and so Patrick, as we talk about the Filson in terms of the African-American history initiatives, talk about the significance of that and how the Filson is really working to contribute toward preserving and sharing Black history in our region.
Yeah, well, Ms. Allen should go.
Also, I am also a member of the Chickasaw Book Committee, and that project is that we're collecting information on African Americans in the West End, which some people are not even aware that has ever existed.
Wow. Yeah, and that's great. That's great, and I'd like to learn more about where those artifacts will be installed. Mm. Because, you know, we need those repositories in our community where we're preserving our own history. I love that. Love that initiative.
I think that is the perfect example of what our African American History Initiative is meant to support. And, you know, we've been working with a committee. They've come down and researched. We've had a couple of committee members be history fellows with us. Sherry Bryan Hamilton, Donovan Taylor have been, you know, working for a couple of years now with us on that project. That committee's huge. But, you know, seeing the plastic totes full of information, of photos, of oral histories, of memories, of churches and schools and blocks and social organizations and clubs, military service. There is no better example that I know of a community-driven research project than that. And, you know, hopefully we'll see that turn into a book here soon. I know we're going to see that turn into a bus tour coming up. Then, you know, after all that is out and shared with the public, you know, I really hope that, you know, somewhere like the Filson will be a place where that full research archive can live, you know, so that, you know, those stories that, don't make it into the book because there's only so many pages you can print, you know, are going to be here and organized, you know, searchable by family, by neighborhood, and a permanent record.
So Patrick, one of the things we probably should have did early on, speak to our listeners in terms of, you know, where is the Filson?
Yeah.
And how do people connect to it and what's happening today and tomorrow and beyond?
Yeah, great questions. Thank you. So we're in Old Louisville. We're on 3rd Street, 1310 South 3rd. We've been there since the mid-1980s. We've got three buildings, an old house there on 3rd Street. The carriage house behind it, which is our main entrance, and we have a couple of exhibit galleries that rotate, featuring some really incredible work. Miss Allen had her own section in there that just rotated out, and now we've got Charlene Hampton Holloway, and some of her materials are up there in that gallery, as well as some other really incredible Black artists. And then we've got a new building that we built in 2016 that faces 4th Street that we use for all of our programs, lectures, events, anything like that. You know, so you can come down and see us in person. You know, we do most of those events in the evening, usually at 6 o'clock on Tuesdays and Thursdays. We've got a full calendar of all of our events online. You can come down and pick some of those that you might want to attend. We got some really exciting ones coming up. One at the end of the month, on February 27th, that I'm really excited about, is a book of poetry by a man named Dorian Hairston, who was a UK baseball player and worked with the Afro-Latian poets there, Frank X. Walker and all of those Black poets there at UK. And he's written a book of poetry about the life of Josh Gibson in the Negro Leagues. So taking his experience as a contemporary baseball player and thinking back on the history of those that came before him. That's going to be absolutely magnificent. We've got Dr. Ricky Jones from U of L is going to be leading a discussion on March 5th on the legacy of Carter G. Woodson and what is the meaning of Black History Month now and the present. I'm really looking forward to that.
I'm looking forward to that, too. I saw that on your website. By the way, your website is pretty rich with information about the Black History Initiative, African American History mm-hmm. Initiative. And I saw that. It caught my eye with Dr. Jones and his other protege. I'm thinking of his name.
We're hoping that that Phil Bailey's going to be able to attend. It's Super Tuesday, so you know, national political reporters have some other commitments. We're hoping.
Well, I want to hear that conversation.
Phil Bailey, Earth, Wind, Fire.
Well, no, his namesake, Philip Bailey, who is a reporter, political reporter, and I call him a protege of Ricky because when I met Philip years ago, he was still a student, and he was working under Dr. Jones. But I know that that's going to be a very interesting conversation because, as you're stating, Patrick, you know, Black History Month, which formerly was Black History Week, and then it expanded to Black History Month. And I've heard Ms. Emma Lucille Allen talk about Black History ought to be 365 days a year because, you know, we don't just come and go as Black people and have been here every day of every year since the beginning.
That's right.
But that conversation from Carter G. Woodson, I don't know if y'all have read his book, Carter G. Woodson's book, The Miseducation of the Negro. That is a, I don't know when it was written, maybe in the 30s, but it's a worthwhile read, and it's still very relevant to this day. But I'm just excited to learn about your work with Dr. Jones, and I want to hear that. But go right ahead. I was looking at your website.
Well, yeah, and that's the perfect segue as well. So, yeah. You know, so we're in person, but we're also online.
Yeah.
And so our website has links to, you know, all of our catalogs with all of our collections, you know, including if you want to see what pieces of Miss Allen's collection we've got cataloged and ready for research, you can go look that up. We also got digital collections that you can look through photograph collections. You can look through museum collections. You can even look through some of the paper collections, right? The letters, the diaries, the business records. And we've got, you know, some really incredible things up already, you know, thinking about, you know, the legacies of Black Louisville, Samuel Plato, his architectural records, right? You know, designing so many houses all across the city, but especially in Chickasaw. You know, designing churches, post offices all across the Midwest, really incredible business legacy. So we not only have his business papers, but then also his family papers, right? Just him and his family and, you know, his wife's family and extended kin going back into time. Helen Humes, our former board member, Ken Clay, brought in her collection, which is just absolutely the most amazing thing I've ever seen is when Ken walked in to the Filson carrying her suitcase, right? The suitcase that had these stickers on it from where she had traveled all over the world in her jazz career, you know, from all different countries. And inside it were photographs, posters, contracts, business records, bunch of her family materials as well. So it is really incredible. We've got an online exhibit about her. And then, you know, you can sort of get into these resources that are sort of helping families do research about themselves, right? Do you want to know how to, what resources do we have at the Filson to do family research on houses, churches, cemeteries, Eastern and Western cemeteries. We've got those records as well. One of the things I'm really, really excited about, last year we started working with the Revert program. It's part of the Louisville Affordable Housing Trust Fund. And they've got a pool of money set aside for folks who can show that they or their families lived in one of the historically redlined neighborhoods in the West End. And, you know, then they can access, if they can demonstrate that connection, then they can access additional funds to help them renovate a home, right? The goal is to promote Black home ownership and correct historical wrongs that were done by the political and the financial system in this city. And so now anybody that starts an application with the Revert program, they refer them over to the Filson. You get a free Filson membership for a year so that you can come and you can do that research. Right,
that's a good perk.
It's great.
You say, Herbert.
I agree.
You know, Herbert, the Revert. You know, Richard Ballard, my nephew, is leading that, working with Christy McCravey over at the Trust Fund, and it's exciting to hear that they're doing some innovative things with Filson.
Yeah, we're real excited about
that. Yeah, yeah. Herbert, any thoughts? Any questions?
Just an announcement that needs to be made about my man Patrick.
Yeah,
I will let him do.
Well,
the
yeah. Honors. Well, yeah. So this morning I was telling her before we got on. It's been busy. Our friend Michael Jones, historian of Black Louisville music, and a reporter for Louisville Business First, broke our story today. So Dick Clay, our current president and CEO, will be retiring at the end of this year, and I'll be stepping in to become the new president and CEO of the Filson starting in January 1st, 2025.
Congratulations, well, Patrick. That is awesome. That
Good
is
job.
Awesome.
Good job.
So now that we know that, yeah, that deserves an applause. Yeah. Now, welcome to the hot seat, right?
That's right.
When you become the CEO, that becomes the hot seat. So I want to bring this perspective to you before we go to a break. You know, race relations in America, and Louisville is no exception, has not always been a panacea, right? It hadn't always been a cooperative agreement. There's been a lot of tension, a lot of strife. And when I think about the language issues and some of the defamatory things that have come up in humanity around race relations, and how does that play out in history, and how does Filson address it? Because as you go through artifacts around Black history, if you're really looking, if you're really doing a real good investigation, you're finding some not so good stuff, right?
Yeah.
Language, and you know, we talk about slavery, we talk about the whole Jim Crow, you talk about the KKK, you talk about lynching. How does Filson deal with the underbelly of race relations in our in our life?
You know, it's you want to balance you know, protecting people, especially young people, from having to encounter that if they're not ready. And if they don't have a context for that, you got to balance that with also wanting to be a permanent documentary record, right? So that people can really stare that reality in the face if they want to. And, you know, so when we are cataloging a collection, right, when a group of papers comes in and we're writing that finding aid, writing out those search and descriptive terms that will help you find it, we take a lot of care to put you know, some cover statements on there that say, you know, heads up, there's some material in here that the Filson does not stand by, but we think it's important that it be in here. But just know that in certain folders, you know, you're going to find some information, right? And maybe it's you know, racially abusive language. Maybe it's, you know, even you talk about plantation records, right? The record itself is dehumanizing. It devalues the soul of the people that it describes as property.
Mm-hmm.
There's no escaping that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we're doing some really incredible things as well. So, you know, for our biggest plantation collection is the Bullitt Family Collection from Oxmoor.
Mm-hmm.
And so a couple of years ago, we were able to scan all of the records from that collection that mentioned enslaved people by name, and we were able to create a digital project, it's available for free on our website, that names all of the people, and we're able to reconstruct families, right? Enslaved families, right? And a lot of times, you know, these folks are only described by first name or nickname, again, speaking to that dehumanization, but we're able to now know that, you know, Joe and Sally, for example, are married, and their children are the following people, and you can trace those family groups across that collection.
Mm-hmm.
So we got that done digitally, but we hadn't been able to make those same changes to our in-person catalogs and finding aids and things like that until last year. Dr. Felicia Jameson down at U of L had some of her students come in and work with us on a project to update all of our catalog materials, right? So that now, instead of just having a catalog entry that says slaves, right? Now you can see the named individuals. So if you're a descendant of those people, and we're in contact with a number of those descendants of people who were slaves at Oxmoor, now you can go and by name find exactly where your ancestors were within our collection. And so that's kind of the model that we're trying to set with any new things that come in the door. But now we also have work to do to go back and to readdress those things that have been cataloged for a long time and make sure that we are respecting the humanity of everybody that we have documented.
Folks, if you just joined us, you're listening to Russell on the Move, and we're talking with Patrick Lewis and Emma Lucille Allen, with the backdrop of our conversation being focused on the affairs of the Filson's Historical Society and its African American History Initiative. We're going to open our lines in just a moment, and our new number here, 502-778-1916, you'll be welcome to call in with questions or comments for our guest. And we're going to take a short break. Miss Allen, I want you to hang out with us during the break. And just stay with us, because I want to bring you back into this conversation right after this break.
Okay.
Attention Louisville. This is Deborah Grant, Director of Operations of Louisville Central Community Centers. here to introduce you to the gem of West Louisville, the Old Warner Street Family Strengthening and Convention Center. Immerse yourself in 30,000 square feet of versatile and top-notch event space designed for your family gatherings, community functions, and corporate events. Our facility is your canvas. Whether you're planning an intimate affair or a large-scale celebration, what sets us apart? Quality. Our commitment to provide a space that enhances your event. Affordability. Ensuring that hosting memorable moments won't break the bank. And of course, accessibility. Enjoy stress-free parking with ample free spaces. On behalf of LCCC, I want to personally invite you to experience the unmatched charm of Old Warner Street. For more information or to book your next event, reach out to me, Deborah Gray, 502-583-8821, or shoot me an email, dgrant@lcccnews.org. Make your event memorable. Make them at Old Warner Street.
Happy Black History Month, Louisville. This is Reverend Jeffrey Ellis, a retired pastor and city government leader, community activist, and honored member of the Lyman T. Johnson Honor Society. At Louisville Central Community Centers, LCCC stands as a beacon of hope, offering educational opportunities, fostering economic mobility, and creating a place where community spirit thrives. Yet, to continue advancing equity, they need the collective effort of support from all of us. So, I implore you, the heartbeat of Louisville, to stand with me, Reverend Jeffrey Ellis, in backing LCCC. Your donations and volunteerism can truly transform the lives of those who need it most. Discover how you can contribute by visiting lcccnews.org or calling 502-583-8821. Let's unite and ensure LCCC remains strong in our community for decades to come. Help make Black history. Support LCCC.
This is Kevin Fields from Louisville Central Community Center, celebrating Black History Month by honoring Black history makers from right here in Louisville, like Reverend Jeffrey Ellis.
Born and raised in Louisville, Reverend Jeffrey S. Ellis served as pastor of churches here and in Elizabethtown. With over 25 years of ministry, he has overseen the growth and movement of congregations and remains active in the African Methodist Episcopal Church. Reverend Ellis is a passionate community activist, having worked with various government agencies and community organizations. As a respected pastor and activist, Reverend Jeffrey S. Ellis continues to inspire positive change and uplift the lives of those around him.
Paying tribute to Louisville's Black history makers, this is Kevin Fields from Louisville Central Community Center. Visit us at 1300 West Muhammad Ali Boulevard or call us 502-583-8821. Check us out online at lcccnews.org. Remember, Black history is American history.
Louisville Central Community Centers is celebrating 75 years of service to the community. LCCC is officially announcing the 75-year challenge and pledge. Join in the celebration and pledge your support by donating $75 today. Your donation goes directly to support the families we serve daily. Mail your donations to LCCC, 1300 West Muhammad Ali, 40203. Call 502-853-8821 or log on to lcccnews.org.
Are you ready to make a real impact in your community? Look no further than AmeriCorps Vista's Russell Neighborhood Capacity Building Project at LCCC. Become a Vista Community Impact Ambassador. Become a catalyst for positive change. Picture yourself working hand-in-hand with local leaders, organizations, and residents to empower the Russell neighborhood. As a Vista volunteer, you'll play a vital role in creating lasting solutions to address poverty and inequality. Your dedication will help build a stronger, more vibrant community for everyone. Make a difference, make connections, and make memories that will last a lifetime. Join the AmeriCorps Vista team at LCCC's Russell Neighborhood Capacity Building Project today. Visit our website at lcccnews.org. To learn more and apply. Be the change you want to see in the world. Become a AmeriCorps Vista Community Impact Ambassador, where your passions meet action.
Welcome back to Russell on the Move. Kevin Fields, CEO at LCCC, and excited to have our special guest, Patrick Lewis Whitfieldson, and Miss Alma Lucille Allen, who needs no introduction because she is a historic icon in herself. But we're glad to have them today to talk about African-American history. And we had a good first segment, learning about Filson, learning about some of its work. And I wanted to make sure that our listeners know that you can learn more at the Filson. We'll have Mr. Lewis give his contact information over at the Filson before we wrap up. And you can visit the Filson, go out online and learn about some of their great offerings and great opportunities. But we want to continue. The lines are open and you can call. The number here is 778-1916. Call us, please call in with your questions or comments. We're going to continue in the meantime. And I wanted to kind of take the conversation a little deeper with you, Miss Allen, as well as with you, Patrick, around some of the collections. I know, Miss Allen, you talked earlier about some of your artwork and some of the other artifacts. And how would you tell that story? What would you want our community to know about your story as it relates to what's at the Filson?
Well, it's not so much about my story. It's about African American stories. It's like I also, there are artists that are now producing artwork, but that no one knows about. And it's like the Susan Moorman Gallery this past couple of months had an exhibition of 33 African American artists there that exhibit their work. And some artists that were in the exhibition, I had never heard about before. But we as artists and as everybody's a historian because we don't know what we have until you ask the question. But I would like to ask everybody to save and just to come and to visit the Filson to see what they do.
Yeah, I'm so glad to hear you say that. And everybody is a historian, and everybody's experience and family is you know worthy of preserving and sharing. You know, and that's the thing that we hear a lot from everybody is, "Oh, my family didn't do anything. You know, we're not important." But it's those kind of everyday, reminders of life and survival and family and community. Here in Louisville and across the state in Southern Indiana that I think are the most valuable and touching. And I think, yeah, it is important. You know, come down to the Filson and look through some of the collections, look through the things that Miss Allen has donated and some of these other folks that we can talk about and see what types of things we have. You know, we serve a number of different audiences. You know, we've been talking a lot about family historians, genealogists, these community historians who really want to understand the place where they grew up and they live. We also serve, you know, the university community, right? Those students who are doing research projects, those professors who are writing the new books that are going to give us that new perspective that we need, right? And we have all those folks that share research space at the Filson. Come down and take a look at some of the collections that we have that document some of these neighborhoods, some of these churches, families. If you see something that we should have, let us know, right? If you see something that we don't have, if you're disappointed that there's, you know, not this story in there, let us know how we can go share that, right? How should we, you know, who should we be in touch with? And that's really the mission of this African American History Initiative that we've got going now is to have a permanent, staff position. That will be a resource for the community to help them do that and to make sure that Black history is preserved permanently in this community, whether that's at the Filson or that's, you know, saved and kept and treasured by a family or held onto by a community organization and a church, right? We just want to make sure that that record stays and that it can always be accessible and learned from.
Yeah, you know, as I listen, and you're right, what Miss Allen said is everybody is a historian because, and Herbert, we can all relate to this. It's a big part of, I think, any culture, but speaking from a Black culture perspective, a big part of our culture is getting together and talking about the past, talking about the memories,
that's right,
talking about things we used to do and things we used to be. And will you say so, Herbert?
Absolutely. That's what the Black History is about. That's it.
Yeah, when families get together around the dinner table, when old friends get together. Well, Herbert, I think about when we, WKU alumni get together, we talk about those days. It's all about celebrating history. And it just brings me to this question. Dr. Lewis, I heard you say you had your dissertation over at UK. Dr. Patrick Lewis is with us. Dr. Lewis, as a leader, and again, I'm going to put you on the hot seat because I find myself on the hot seat as a CEO often. So welcome to the club.
That's right.
So what type of leadership do you envision bringing to Filson? What will be your vision? What will be your style? And, if I were to qualify that question, do you see yourself in terms of preserving and maybe incrementally growing the Filson, or do you see yourself being transformational and innovative and doing things totally new?
Well, I think we've had a real good foundation in the past few years, and I think it's a positive indication that we've got folks like Miss Allen who have become aware of the Filson recently and have started to engage with it. And that really, I think, says something deep about some good momentum that we've got. And I think that really has gotten started in the past, probably since 2016, we opened a new building there on 4th Street where we can have these programs and community events. Not only do we host our own events there, but we make that, available as well to nonprofits and community groups who need meeting space, event space, all that kind of stuff, So that has helped the Filson, I think, break out of a shell. And that's what we want to continue, right? We don't want it to be a place that's sort of tucked up in a quiet corner of old Louisville, and if you know about it, you can come in. We want everybody to feel welcome, to feel like they can come in the door, that they've got a place there, that their history and their stories are valid and important and contribute to the tapestry, right, of this state and this city. And I think that is really what I want to keep growing and pushing forward. We recognize, looking around the city, and we've recognized this with Black history. We recognized this a few years ago with Jewish history. But there are any number of communities here that, if somebody walks in the door today and says, hey, I'd like to learn about X or Y, I can't help you. We don't have any of that material. And so we want our collections. We want our membership. We want our program calendar. We want our board to reflect this city. And we've made some good strides, and that's, sort of always growth that we need to do.
Well, it sounds great. And I hope that there will be opportunity in the future that we partner and collaborate on some innovative ideas. That's why I gave you that question. Because, have led from Louisville Central Community Center's perspective, we have led and we still own a master plan for Muhammad Ali Boulevard. We call it the Ali Boulevard Arts and Culture District. And a big part of that cultural component is preserving and growing from Black history, because Ali Boulevard, historically speaking, was the Black business district, the Black, commercial and cultural district. In Louisville, Miss Allen can tell that story better than me, but we see it from an economic standpoint as something to rebuild our community economically, based on that,
and
making it a destination, a place where people want to go and experience and learn and celebrate. That's why we have the old Warner Street campus. That's why we're looking to develop more along Ali Boulevard. So one of the questions I have, this is just a kind of a visionary kind of a question. And it's one of the things we've talked about is there are opportunities to create, maybe national, if not global, attractions in our community based on our heritage as African Americans, especially when you think of Black experience around athletics. In this market, Kentucky, there's a lot of stories, historically speaking, that are based in athletics. But can you speak of, do you know of any other institutions that are actively preserving that history? And just speak to that if you could.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're really blessed in Louisville to have a number of institutions that are committed to Black history, thinking about the Kentucky Center for African American Heritage, thinking about Roots 101. You know, I think the Filson can play a supporting role to what those institutions do. They are great at engaging people, you know, in the community, right? Those are wonderful museum and event spaces where people can come and learn and experience. The Filson can kind of sit behind that and be this research center, right? These deep questions, right? And, you know, we think a lot about how we interact with University of Louisville, how we interact with Simmons, you know, how we interact with Spalding's, our neighbors, kind of around our campus, and, you know, how we support that student research and that envisioning. And that's not just from a historical perspective, but exactly as you say, and this is kind of the work that Dr. Ricky Jones is doing down at U of L, this bigger picture of how we build a more sustainable and just and equitable community. Drawing from the past, positively and negatively, right? We can figure out what didn't work and what obstacles were thrown up and put in the way. And then we can also see, you know, where that excellence, that flourishing of culture, art, music, athletics, right? And we can celebrate that. And the Filson can be that place where those records, you know, get held and preserved and then shared, right? And this is, again, one of the important things. You know, we, you know, absolutely try to get our materials out as much as possible. Obviously, we got a bunch of stuff online. We loan out our collections pretty frequently to other museums, galleries, so that they can be seen. Right? We just, you know, think of us as the shelf, right? You put something on, but if the community needs to use it and it's got a use to be seen and admired in the case of a piece of art, or to be studied and investigated, then you come here and you pick it up off the shelf.
Ms. Allen, anything you want to add?
I would just like to say I was glad to hear him talk about Roots 101, because on this past Saturday, I was awarded an award called the Queen Mother of Louisville.
Amen. And amen. Congratulations. That deserves an applause. Mm-hmm. Yeah, congratulations.
Well, thank you. And I will send you a picture. And also, this award will be donated eventually to the Filson, but I'll keep it here at the house for a while.
Wonderful.
But there are things that happen that you don't realize is happening. You're invited to come somewhere, and then you are being recognized, and you're able to speak. And what I would like to let everybody know is that we need to teach our young people that they need to go to libraries to see what's going on and to go to the Filson. Because it's a lot of things at the Filson that Black African-American community does not know that is there.
Yeah, well, congratulations on the award, and shout out to Lamont Collins, our dear brother over at Roots 101, and I'm thankful that he would acknowledge you, well-deserved. And you're 100% right. And Dr. Lewis, does the Filson entertain field trips from students? Is that something you guys do?
Yes, absolutely. We just had a class from Bellarmine in last week. I just booked a date with an African American history class from Simmons to come in next month. Yeah, absolutely. That's one of the things that we really want to introduce those students to.
Right. But we got to remember that in our program planning at LCCC, getting our kids, Art Academy, over there to visit you guys and learn, because Ms. Allen's right. We need to make sure kids are getting exposed to their roots, their history. And it sounds like a great place to go to do that over at Filson. One other point I do want to cover before we come to a close today is what's been your approach over at Filson as you address recent social unrest that we experienced, say, beginning in 2020, and how does that influence your commitment to advancing racial justice?
No, that's a great question. That is the question that every organization in Louisville needs to ask itself. You know, there's a piece of art that is up in our main research room. So if you come to the Filson and you're looking through Miss Allen's collection or somebody else's, you sit down there and it's a full sheet of plywood. That's up. It takes up a whole wall. And it started off life as one of the sheets of plywood covering up one of the businesses downtown during the protest in the summer of 2020. and Red Biddix, a local artist, took it down and painted this absolutely incredible portrait of a black woman on it, with a poem about the hurt and the pain from that summer of protest, written around the outside. The woman herself is three-dimensional. She uses an American flag as a headband, has cotton balls for earrings. It's one of the most moving pieces we have in our collection, and we put it up there, right there in the main reading room. You know, and she looks out on portraits of, you know, Isaac Shelby, the first governor, and William Clark, and, you know, these things that sort of tell this multifaceted story about Kentucky history leading right up into the present. And there's no way you can sit in that reading room doing whatever research you're doing and not see that this past is present today. And we put that up there very intentionally. And she's cleated into the wall, and she isn't going anywhere. And I think that really sort of is emblematic for us. And, you know, we started talking about really how do we invest in more black history. And, you know, very fortunately, around the year 2000, Dr. Blaine Hudson came onto our board, published some really incredible articles, really kicked off our collecting efforts in the black community, started bringing in collections. We entered into a partnership with a lady named Rita Jones, who did this wonderful oral history project of all these rural black communities in the East End, Griffeytown and Prospect and Harrods Creek, you know, taking the stories of the folks that had grown up there in this area of the county that now is overwhelmingly white, right? And the black history there is very difficult to see and define and remember. And we were able to start to collect that through her. So in 2000, you know, around that time, we really started to get things going. But in 2020, we knew that we had to really amplify that. And so we started this African American History Initiative. And we also learned and listened from the black community, and what we heard in the summer of 2020 is that, you know, temporary projects and changes don't solve anything. They need time to develop and to build momentum. And so instead of, you know, throwing together a 1 or 2 year project and bringing in a handful of collections and sort of patting ourselves on the back and saying, hey, the Filson did a good job, we decided to raise a more than $3 million endowment. That's 3.1 right now. We're trying to get it even higher. So that
that's a good number. That's worth celebrating.
Yeah.
3.1.
Yeah.
You can't, Herbert, he's a money guy over there. He can tell you 3.1 million. If you're sitting on that, you're doing all right.
And so
we're real good. Yeah.
It's been good. Right. And so, you know, that will allow us to hire multiple, positions, a lead project manager that we're hiring for right now. It's going to be a person that's going to work with our curatorial staff to bring in collections, but then also
on that note, yeah. Excuse me for interrupting. I saw your ad for a manager of your African American initiative, and I sent it to a contact. So you may be hearing
thank
from
you.
Somebody.
We appreciate that. Yeah, those applications are kind of rolling until open. We're kind of got the first batch of applicants in right now, and it's looking really strong and exciting. People, lots of different backgrounds, right? And what we fundamentally wanted in that is somebody who can be out in the community, who can meet people, who can listen, identify the needs that groups and individuals and families have, and then shape whatever those programs look like to help that. Does the Filson already have resources that can help a research project, or is this something where we need to, you know, to gather those resources and preserve them? And then thinking about programming as well, right? We want to make sure that we've got the resources to bring in and host speakers on black history topics from all over the country that come in and give us this national perspective, but then also we can feature those folks who are doing the work here in Louisville and make sure they got the platform to share what they know.
Okay, I got a quick question for you. We got about 5 minutes left. I want to give you 2 minutes to give us your dissertation, your findings, your, you know, path forward, your recommendations, your key lessons. 2 minutes.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. Well, actually, if folks are really interested, they can come out to Camp Nelson National Park, just south of Lexington, which is amazing. Kentucky now has a national park that celebrates Black military service in the Civil War. Camp Nelson was the largest recruiting camp for Black men to leave slavery, join the Union Army, and fight for their freedom during the Civil War. And a few years ago, that became a national park. It had been a county park in Jessamyn County. But they've been doing some incredible work around Kentucky Black history there. So I'm going to be there on Saturday giving a talk about this if folks are so inclined. But, you know, I wrote a biography of a Union Army officer named Ben Buckner from Winchester who resigned in protest of the Emancipation Proclamation. And that made me kind of stick my head up and go, what? But he's representative of these Kentuckians, these white Kentuckians who think that by staying in the Union, they can best preserve slavery, that this Confederacy is a bad idea. It's going to start a war. And, you know, they're going to inevitably lose. It turns out they're right. But I think what this really shows us is that these Unionist Kentucky slave owners recognized fundamentally that the United States was built on slavery, that the Constitution was a pro-slavery document that guaranteed slavery. They didn't see that America needed to change anything to continue to hold people in bondage. And I think that is a reminder of the work that we all have to do as Americans to really move beyond that founding generation and recognize that those ideals, those words that Jefferson writes in the Declaration of Independence are great in theory, but they were not a reality in practice.
Excellent. I'm going to read your dissertation. I'm a researcher and I love learning, and I would like to learn about, it sounds like you've created the DNA of Kentucky in terms of how people think, especially predominantly white people think or thought back in those days. So Ms. Elmer, thank you for joining us, and we're going to close the show, but I want you to give some closing remarks and before we close it. So
it is, I thank you. First of all, I'd like to say thank you. And I just like to recognize people that do things. And also you think a little thing that people do is not important, but it's not what we do. It's what we give back to the community.
Amen. You're right. Amen to that. And Dr. Lewis, any closing thoughts?
Well, I really appreciate. Well, I'm honored to share some radio space with Miss Allen today. It's fantastic.
Yeah, she is a jewel, and likewise, so are you. I look forward to your leadership, and collaboration, and doing some of the great community work that you're doing, and supporting, you know, these historians in our community. We love that, and there's a lot more that needs to be done, and we know that you're up to it. Herbert, any final thoughts from you today?
Yes, Kevin. Great show today. Appreciate you, Patrick. And education is the vaccine, community. And just keep it on your heart as we go through Black History. Thanks.
Amen. This is our second of a series of Black History Month shows. If you missed the show last week, great conversation with Jim Beckett, Lawrence Herring, talking about Reland and that project. If you missed it, you can catch it on our website, lcccnews.org. There's a blog and a podcast, and you can look forward to a blog and a podcast from this show today. So I want to close by, again, thanking our special guest, Dr. Patrick Lewis, who is heading up the Filson Historical Society. And again, kudos to him and my dear friend, Julie James, who's doing great work over there. Also want to remind us that we are in our 75th anniversary movement, moving up to our 75th annual meeting coming up next month, March 21st. And we're still collecting donations in the name of 75 years of impacting children and families in our community. You can go out to our website at LCCC News and learn more about how you can support the 75-year campaign. And we do have another Black History Month focus next week. Herbert, who we have next week? You got that info handy?
No, not right. I won't say the wrong name,
We do have
a historian next week.
We got a historian, and for the next couple of weeks, we're going to be talking. But as Mr. Emma Lucille Allen says, we talk Black history 365 days a year because we want to impact Black history. But folks, that's our time. That's our show for this week. Until next week. Be safe, be blessed. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Russell on the Move. LCCC's weekly affairs update on Russell and surrounding neighborhoods in West Louisville. We hope you enjoyed our show and took away news you can use to help lift your spirits and increase your prosperity. Join us next week as we continue our mission, equity advancement and community empowerment. For now, be safe, be blessed. Until we meet again, the LCCC. Leading with vision, educating on economic mobility, advancing equity, developing quality.